What are the most important news and notes you need to know from the AFC teams for fantasy football ahead of mini camps and OTAs? It's time to break it down right here and right now as we begin another week of Locked On Fantasy Football.
Our Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyerman. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. Come to site. Check out what we have leading you into the NFL offseason. It's here. We have mini camps and OTAs here coming up for all the teams across the league here as they settle in and try to get that last good practice session in before taking a break before training camp. So, before then, we got to look at the news and notes. A lot of things have happened for these teams here around the draft, post-draft, coming into these organized team activities and those other sessions here as they kind of look at their team as a whole for the first time in 2022. So we'll break that down for you from the AFC. Get the teams there. We'll go in alphabetical order. We'll start in Baltimore and end up in Tennessee. We'll do that with the NFC as well. We'll go to Arizona and then end up in Washington here to give you the latest on what every team's thinking. We'll focus on offense, of course, offensive skill here, in particular for fantasy football and the takeaways you need to know at this stage of the offseason. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline, as you've covered the season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, let's dive right into it, and we'll start with the Ravens, as we've said, in Baltimore. And the big story here is Lamar Jackson. He's not kind of interested at all in getting that contract done. He's waiting and betting on himself a little bit. He represents himself here, so he's waiting for the top of the market. This is the best way to go, we know, for a quarterback, if he's comfortable with that situation. A lot of quarterbacks don't like doing that. We saw Josh Allen get locked up. Then you saw Kyler Murray looking for that same type of deal. He wants his contract now, but Lamar Jackson figures if he has one more good season out there, he's already won an MVP in this league, puts together some good numbers, it'll take care of itself, and he'll be back right there at the top of the quarterback market. While if he gets paid now, it'll be what is in relation to the salaries there, but you want to get paid in relation to the highest salaries based on your time to get paid. So Lamar knows with one big year challenging Patrick Mahomes and being up there with the Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and showing that he's an elite quarterback again and having a bounce back season, staying healthy here, which should be the expectation. He's battled COVID-19 issues. Those should be in the past. He's had some other injuries that came and derailed him a bit last year. So, look, Lamar knows he's very talented. He knows he fits really well in this offense. Interesting adjustment he's making. He's going to be motivated here, but losing Marquise Hollywood Brown, Lamar was surprised at first, but I think in the end it's going to play a little bit better. They added some tight end depth in the draft, and their wide receivers will give a chance for maybe James Prochet or Devin Duvernay to have an impact here. Rashad Bateman playing off of Mark Andrews, so they're loaded there, and they also expect to have a stronger running game here with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards being the combination there to complement Lamar Jackson. That should help Jackson's running production as well for fantasy and reality. So everything is lining up well here for Lamar to have a big season. Definitely motivated to stay healthy and put up the big numbers as long as that contract is not there. And it looks like he's in no rush. So that's good. Lamar is in a good mindset. He's not getting frustrated about that. So those are all positive developments in Baltimore. One interesting development here is that Justice Hill, we talked about him maybe being phased out of this offense and not having a chance here. Well, there was a development that happened. They signed Mike Davis. Remember, he had a good year filling in for Christian McCaffrey with the Panthers. Didn't work out so much in the Falcons. So last year with some feature potential there, it ended up being Cordarrelle Patterson taking that backfield role and being featured there in Atlanta. So now you got Mike Davis in the mix, a swing backup. I think they like his versatility there. J.K. Dobbins has that receiving ability as well as that explosive running ability. Gus Edwards is more kind of a converted fullback type of power runner here. So Mike Davis can give you a little bit of both, insurance policy for both of those backs. So it's something to monitor if the progress with those backs is a bit slow here. And we know injuries are pretty big. I know it's also been almost a full season by the time we get to training camp here when their injuries went down. So you look at that situation for its backfield, it makes sense that they would get a guy that can plug and play in either role there that Dobbins or Edwards will play, and Mike Davis with some good experience. And I think this is Mike Davis's best role. He's not meant to be a guy that you look at as a 20-touch back. If you need him in a short stretch to do so, that's fine. So notable handcuff thing to watch there in Baltimore. All right, we'll go from Baltimore to Buffalo and the Bills. And looking at their situation here, James Cook was added, and they've talked about him being the sub back, the sub back, the sub back. They've said this about 10 times here between the general manager, Brandon Bean, and their new offensive coaching staff here without Brian Daboll. So that means change of pace back. That means receiving back here. So that's probably going to come to the work of Devin Singletary, Zach Moss between them. It's going to be an odd man out, and you have Matt Breida there in that catching role. And Cook, we said that he could have a much bigger role in this offense. I think he's way more explosive and more reliable here with fresh legs when you put together the skill sets of Zach Moss and Matt Breida. So he looks like the clear number two to Devin Singletary. That's going to cut into Singletary's value if you're looking at a feature back to catch passes. I don't think that's going to happen as much here. I think James Cook is going to get some opportunities here. It really comes down to training camp, what he can show. Can he hold up in pass protection? We know the Bills are pretty pass-happy offense there with Josh Allen. He's going to have to be able to chip pass rushers and keep his quarterback upright to be trusted in those receiving situations. Otherwise, you'd see Singletary see a little bit more of that action. So looking at James Cook, we'll watch his role, but right now he's just a change of pace, receiving type back, and he's got some upside though. Dalvin's brother, so you know the pedigree is there. Khalil Shakir, we thought was a really good pick. They're out of Boise State. He's going to start as a number four wide receiver for the Bills. That makes a lot of sense with what they have in front. Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, and Jameson Crowder will be the three there. So some opportunities for Khalil Shakir. They phased out Emmanuel Sanders here, moved on from him, and clearly they have a pecking order there with Davis next, and then the Crowder replacing Cole Beasley in the slot. So number four makes a lot of sense for Khalil Shakir, their other notable offensive skill rookie at wide receiver. All right, we go to tight end, and the Bills have been talked about a little bit with Rob Gronkowski. Would he go back to his hometown to close out his career, chasing another Super Bowl ring? They're a Buffalo native. Or would you see them go in a different direction? Well, they signed Jalen Weidermeyer. I thought this kid was going to be drafted. I think some injury issues scared people away. To me, he was around the third or fourth tight end available in the draft. So they added him after. So don't sleep on Weidermeyer having a potential role here to make the team. But right now, it was a good situation for Dawson Knox at tight end. So when you look at the receiving core overall, you see clearly the number one role for Stephon Diggs still. You see Gabriel Davis trying to work himself as a relevant number two, and then Jameson Crowder and Dawson Knox filling in the short to intermediate routes in the middle of the field. The Bengals, not much has changed there with them. It's still T. Higgins watch just to make sure that he's healthy going into the season. They didn't really change up their offense too much. It's still going to be what we saw from them last year for the most part. The big change is going to be no C.J. Uzomah at tight end. You're going to have Drew Sample there. They have Hayden Hurst filling in for Uzomah. So pretty much status quo here. They're hoping that Higgins will be fully healthy for training camp, and that is the expectation here. So all quiet is good news for the Bengals. That means Joe Burrow and this offense is locked in, not expecting too much change. We want some constants in fantasy football, and Cincinnati looks like one of those, making transition from 2021 to 2022. All right, another big issue that we're tracking here in this division with the quarterbacks in the passing game, Deshaun Watson. There are a lot of things that went down of late, testimony and hearings and things that will help determine the outcome of Deshaun Watson. How much time is he going to miss? If he misses time at all, I would lean towards some kind of suspension or discipline is coming from the league here. So something the Browns are bracing for. They're not going to keep Baker Mayfield as a contingency for that. I think they're keeping Baker because they need to get a trade offer to move his contract. But Jacoby Brissett is the guy that would fill in right now for Deshaun Watson. They're not going to change from that plan. There's no way that Watson and Mayfield go into training camp together here in Cleveland. And another interesting tidbit related to the passing game and Watson. We know where their passing game is solid right now. You have Amari Cooper coming over in the trade from the Cowboys as their number one. Their tight ends are pretty good, led by David Njoku, even without Austin Hooper. Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. Donovan Peoples-Jones is a very intriguing deep threat here that should expand on that role. But in the middle, they're kind of open here without Jarvis Landry. David Bell looks like he might fill that void. We talked about him being a bit of a hybrid of Juju Smith-Schuster and Adam Thielen. Thielen makes sense with Kevin Stefanski's links to the Minnesota offense where he came. But Stefanski's excited about Bell and his potential role out of Purdue. So he likes the Swiss Army knife receiver inside, outside. That's going to give some versatility there for Amari Cooper. We know he can run inside routes if needed. So that could get David Bell on the field here as one of their top three receivers in 11 personnel. We'll have to see how they work between 11 personnel and 12. Stefanski is used to two tight ends quite a bit, going back to his Minnesota days as well. But there's some things to like about David Bell in this particular offense. Good big target here. They already have the field stretcher in Peoples-Jones. Amari Cooper is a good, well-rounded number one here. So Bell would seem to fit in very nicely as a big slot and an outside possession target with some touchdown potential here with Deshaun Watson. So we'll watch him. I wouldn't expect too much as a rookie. I still think it's a lot of Amari Cooper, some Njoku from tight end, and occasional big plays like Will Fuller was and from Peoples-Jones there with Watson. But Jacoby Brissett being in there could change things up and rely more on a receiver such as Bell with that big catch radius there to help play off Amari Cooper. All right, the final team we'll talk about in this first segment is the Denver Broncos. And there was some buzz about Greg Dulcich in the draft. He was a very athletic tight end from UCLA, put on a show at the Combine. And the Broncos drafted him, essentially replacing Noah Fant, who was involved in the trade to Seattle involving Russell Wilson coming back to Denver. So people talk about Dulcich. Is there going to be a role for him? It's hard to see that right now. And part of it is we talk about Albert Okwuegbunam and just the way he can play right now at tight end. He filled in very nicely for Noah Fant as a receiver last year. And the other thing you consider is the receiving core. I mean, Jerry Jeudy still figuring things out. He was cleared there from his arrest, but is there suspension coming? Is there something further to be investigated there? Is his head on right to also go after and really build and try to take full advantage of Russell Wilson out being out there. So, and Russell Wilson and tight ends have had a fickle relationship over the years, so that's that. But Dulcich, I would calm down a little bit because Okwuegbunam is still there and can make a lot of plays. And you look at the rest of the receiving corps pretty deep with Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton along with Jeudy right now in Denver for Russell Wilson. All right, there you have it. There's a look at five of the AFC teams. We'll get to 11 more here as we break down the news and notes and what that means for fantasy football here from all 16 teams. We're waiting for the football season to come, but there are NFL futures they can check out, Super Bowl odds. You also have win total over-unders you can check out. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for our betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, whether it's boxing or UFC. And we know there's also NHL playoffs as we work towards the conference finals there in that sport. So check it out only at BetOnline. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we will continue here with Locked On Fantasy Football on a Monday here in a moment. But I do have to tell you about Locked On Sports Today. It's Peter Bukowski and our great crew there covering all the biggest stories that you'll find. Right now, it's the NBA and NHL playoffs, as we mentioned. So check it out. Locked On Sports Today here on the network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast, just like this show, Locked On Fantasy Football. All right, so we'll go from Denver to Houston as we transition and continue to look at our AFC news and notes for fantasy football here. We update we need to have before mini camps and OTAs. Let's start with the Houston Texans, and we'll focus on the rookies here. So post Deshaun Watson world for them. Davis Mills looks like he's the starting quarterback, but where do these other new offensive skill players fit in? We have John Mechie with his speed. He's a big play threat there, the Canadian sensation from Alabama. You look at the receiving core right now, you figure it's the Nico Collins, Brandon Cooks, and Chris Conley in some order there starting, and the Cooks having the best slot versatility of those three. Collins or Conley could be used as a bigger slot there. So you look at that. Mechie is a field stretcher outside. So They seem like they're going to work him into the offense slowly, even though Davis Mills has a big arm and Mechie has that skill set to stretch the field. I don't think you're going to see much of Mechie on the field, especially coming off the knee injury there. So, again, temper expectations there. Also, Damian Pierce had a lot of buzz. They're the running back they added, but they also added veterans Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead in the mix. So I'm not sure what you're going to get from this Texans backfield again. Remember, it was pulling teeth trying to get something out of Burkhead late last season with the David Johnson mess from early and Philip Lindsay and Mark Ingram. So it looks like it's a similar mess, only with lesser names here for the Texans in 2022. Next up is the Indianapolis Colts. They also drafted a rookie named Pierce, Alec Pierce, and he's going to be locked and loaded. He signed his contract as a rookie. They also have Jelani Woods, who they invested pretty highly at tight end, losing Jack Doyle to retirement. So Jelani Woods will be brought along opposite Mo Alie-Cox. You have Alec Pierce having the influence of Michael Pittman Jr. there, kind of interchangeable, big type of targets. So Pierce has more blinding speed to play on the outside. Well, I think Pittman is better suited for big slot duties, but also on the outside. Paris Campbell, related to that, looks quick and fast, fully healthy, 100% here. So Campbell's going to have a regular role as they try to replace T.Y. Hilton as well. So remember, Zach Pascal gone, T.Y. Hilton. So they're trying to remix this wide receiver core, playing off the strengths of Michael Pittman Jr., fitting in with what more Matt Ryan and the quarterback that is on the radar here for them to sign, Nick Foles, can throw to here. So get some downfield threats. Campbell has a lot of quickness. Pierce has a lot of speed. Pittman has a little bit of both there with his number one attributes. So Jelani Woods, also a very good athlete there. A little bit less pedestrian there than Jack Doyle playing off Mo Alie-Cox. So some dynamic weapons there for sure that they're lining up for the Colts, whether it's Matt Ryan or potential newcomer quarterback coming up, Nick Foles, who we know has a great history with Frank Reich and that offensive scheme. Also for the Colts, they also added Philip Lindsay. We talked about Marlon Mack going to Houston. Well, they need a replacement for Marlon Mack, an early down type back here to spell Jonathan Taylor. They already have Nyheim Hines to work on the receiving role when needed. So no Marlon Mack, no Jordan Wilkins. So Philip Lindsay makes sense to fill that gap because he's a hybrid of both of those players. And the nice swing back up there for the skill sets of Taylor and Hines. And the biggest thing with Hines is I think they're going to involve their backs more in the passing game. Check downs here with Matt Ryan, the arm strength, playing off those guys. So a little bit more work for Hines, maybe a little less work for Taylor. But Taylor's still the man as a dominant feature back for this team. Lindsay just now down to swing backup, but yet another team for him, bouncing around from Denver, went from Denver to Houston to Miami, and now is on Indianapolis here in the limited backup role. And part of it is just the undersized nature of his frame is going to keep him from seeing big touches in any offense going forward, despite his 1,000-yard pedigree from the Broncos. All right, let's go to the Jaguars, and not much going on with their offense. We're still trying to figure out what they're going to do with their three receivers, how they get on the same page, the three new targets, specifically Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, and Evan Ingram at tight end. When you look at the offense, that's the main question. But when you look at the defense, what are they going to do with Trayvon Walker? We thought he might play a 3-4 end type role for them, but looks like he's going to line up at strong side linebacker. So that gives him a little bit more juice as a rookie, an outside linebacker playing opposite the other Josh Allen there in the Jacksonville pass rush. So Kayvon Chaisson, they're not trying to give him a chance there. So I thought they needed help up front in 3-4, but clearly they're thinking that Walker has the athleticism to play on the second level versus in front of their three-man front. All right, let's go to the Chiefs here, and they invested quite a bit at wide receiver. We know they brought in Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. They saw Marcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, and that blockbuster Tyreek Hill trade happened to change things up dramatically here. Sammy Watkins, they could have brought back, but he ended up with the Packers from being 1 year away from the Chiefs. So they needed some depth here. And we know Josh Gordon is still hanging around behind MBS and Juju Smith-Schuster. You got also Mecole Hardman. We don't know exactly what his role is going to be. And you have Sky Moore. Sky Moore getting a lot of buzz there out of Western Michigan. But the guy that I thought was undrafted by a big mistake was Justin Ross of Clemson. Now, if this kid is healthy, watch out for Justin Ross. Remember him early there with Trevor Lawrence? This kid could track down every ball. If he's at full speed here, Patrick Mahomes is going to love throwing this guy in training camp and all the offseason sessions here. So Justin Ross can be impressive with his speed. This could be an absolute Chief steal. Again, Sky Moore is going to probably be working carefully between the veterans there. Hardman has more experience in the offense. You have also MBS and Juju Smith-Schuster. MBS is a big play, field stretching threat who played with Aaron Rodgers, and then you have Juju, who's a nice big slot. So they have specific roles here, so then you can find others on the outside. But this tells me they're not completely sold on Mecole Hardman with the speed and quickness here. So Justin Ross, a player to watch definitely in Kansas City as an undrafted rookie free agent signing. We go from Kansas City to their rivals, one of their rivals in Las Vegas. We got two more rivals to talk about here as we close up our look at the AFC West news and notes in this segment. Zamir White, all the buzz says Zamir White can end up as the feature back here for Josh McDaniels over Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake. So we're watching Zamir White out of Georgia. So what is it with these Georgia backs? They're special, aren't they? So you have James Cook and Zamir White being in play as maybe having big roles for the respective teams. The Raiders switched up their backup quarterback situation. Jared Stidham is now in the mix. Makes sense. McDaniels had him as well as with general manager Dave Ziegler in New England. So Stidham comes over in a move, and then a little bit of a lateral wide receiver move, maybe getting a little bit more experience and some big slot potential, as well as the outside-inside versatility and some return game help. Keelan Cole is now a member of the Raiders, and they said goodbye to Zay Jones. They, of course, made the blockbuster tape for Devontae Adams. So they have Hunter Renfrow, Devontae Adams, and now Keelan Cole, whose experience is in the mix as Bryan Edwards moved on. They traded him to the Falcons. So we'll talk about him a little bit more when we talk NFC news and notes. So we know the Falcons will be the second team we talk about beyond the Cardinals. We'll do that on tomorrow's show. But yeah, Keelan Cole into the mix now behind Adams and Renfrow in the passing game with Derek Carr that we're going to watch. So a lot of things still in flux. We know Darren Waller is the number one tight end. We know Adams and Renfrow are going to be the key wide receivers. But let's see what happens with the roles for Zamir White and Keelan Cole. And finally, the last team we'll talk about, another AFC West rival of the Chiefs and Raiders in Los Angeles, the Chargers. Not much coming out of there. This Chargers team, Justin Herbert's awesome. He's got some great weapons. Can do some damage with now Mike Williams, Gerald Everett, and Keenan Allen. But don't sleep on Isaiah Spiller. We know Austin Eckler has a history of some soft tissue injuries, can be worn down a little bit. I'm not saying Spiller is going to take his role because Eckler is a dynamo of a back with his ability in the passing game as well. That's going to keep him on and get the feature touches, 15 to 20 per game still. But they might want to scale back a little bit with him. And early, Isaiah Spiller shot out of the gate as being a better option than Joshua Kelly or Larry Roundtree in replacing Josh Jackson there behind the formidable Austin Eckler as the top backup option we're going to watch in fantasy. Isaiah Spiller, good pickup by the Chargers, a good value in the draft. I thought he could have been on a power team and been a lead back, but now he ends up in a complimentary role there and a strong backup role to Austin Eckler in Los Angeles. All right, we still have five more teams to talk about as we break down the AFC news and notes for you. We'll go Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, Steelers, Titans in our last segment there, giving you what you need to know and the fantasy football takeaways from that before mini camps and OTAs. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now possible for your local auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car or dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for more than 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need, brake parts, tail lamps, more oil, and a new carpet. For my Ford C-Max Energy a while back, I needed a side mirror cover, some changes there, found it there at Rock Auto. Then I also needed a Honda card middle console replacement, and I got that as well as Rock Auto for much cheaper than I would have spent elsewhere. So check it out. Go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution to your own auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car. Truck right locked onto their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know they sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Find them at rockauto.com. All right, it is time to close the show, giving you a lot more information here on what's going on here with the AFC news and notes. We're up to the Miami Dolphins and looking at what's going on with them. Tua Tagovailoa, there's a lot of high expectations for him, that he's working well in this new offense. A lot of buzz here working with Mike McDaniel, that it's a little bit more contained. They keep preaching that they're not going to have any limitations with his arm. They believe in his arm to get the ball downfield as needed and stretching the field to his speedy receivers now, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So that's going to be the big debate. That's going to be the determining factor if Tua Tagovailoa is going to be long for the Dolphins as their starting quarterback. He has to get the ball down the field for them for big plays here without limitations, or it's going to get ugly. And he does have to have good accuracy there. So that's the thing we're going to look for most if we're going to trust in Tua. Now, we're not sure if we can trust the Dolphins' backfield at this point. I said Chase Edmonds was a good value here, mainly because you have Raheem Mostert coming off a major knee injury, hard to stay healthy there. They have some optimism with him, but again, there's a little bit of personal bias there with Mike McDaniel carrying over for a player he likes from the 49ers. They also added Sonny Michel in the mix here to get some touches. So you have Michel with Mostert. So this is actually good news for Chase Edmonds. Michelle tells you they need a little bit of a power back. Michelle doesn't have the same receiving skills that Chase Edmonds has. So Edmonds is probably going to cancel out Myles Gaskin. So it's the end of the Myles Gaskin probably experiment there in Miami. He's had some good numbers, so reality and fantasy football-wise. But new coaching staff, new style of running game, not the same type of combination here. So they've said the backfield is wide open here between Edmonds, Michel, Mostert, and Gaskin. My feeling is still with Edmonds. They've signed him aggressively in free agency. Look at his style of play. He's a guy that fits this offense well with his versatility, zone blocking, running. Michel is a hard guy to stay healthy. He's been bouncing around. Mostert is a hard guy to trust as well. So, again, I still think it favors Chase Edmonds at this very moment. We go from Miami to another team in the AFC East, New England. They have an offensive coordinator problem right now. It's hard to believe that they have Joe Judge and Matt Patricia back. This is kind of a classic Patriots thing, right? They have two of the guys that didn't do well as head coaches. Joe Judge didn't get a long time with the Giants. Same thing with Matt Patricia and the Lions. So they end up in what was their old specialties here? Joe Judge was on special teams. Matt Patricia was on defense. Now you lose Josh McDaniel. Bill Belichick must not, or Josh McDaniels, I should say, but there's not a lot of trust here, I guess, in other guys coming up to take control of the play calling, especially when you have two guys, special teams and defense, or what they were calling and helping Belichick with. So I don't know if Steve Belichick is going to take a bigger role with the defense, and he's already kind of the de facto defensive coordinator, maybe the heir apparent now if McDaniel's gone. It's definitely not going to be Patricia and Judge based on their coaching situation. So they asked a player, Nelson Agholor, at wide receiver, who's the offensive coordinator? He had no idea. That is not good going into mini camps and OTAs, folks. I mean, you just have to know who's calling the plays. A little bit of disarray after the McDaniels era here. So McDaniels, those guys are going to hurt their teams more than you think. Kyle Shanahan and Bill Belichick losing those guys here calling the plays. So again, post-McDaniels world is not that great for Mac Jones to make the most of it. He's a veteran QB, played well at Alabama. He's been in different offensive schemes before. But Mac Jones has had a pretty good offseason overall. They did get Devontae Parker for him, so I don't know if that's a major upgrade, really. It is a better option than N'Keal Harry, but they already had Kendrick Bourne and Agholor and Jacoby Myers and the two tight ends. So I'm not sure that does too much to move the needle on Mac Jones and his ceiling here. I still think best options are Jacoby Myers working the slot as potential wide receiver three, and Hunter Henry still being the better tight end option between him and Jonu Smith. Now, we have a little bit more clarity about why they drafted Pierre Strong. He is kind of a contingency for James White. White has some injury issues. Long-term, James White probably doesn't have much left in the tank as that classic receiving back, going back to Kevin Falk in those days here. So he's a contingency, Pierre Strong. He's not a guy that's going to compete with Ramondre Stevenson or Damien Harris there. They also added another back there, Kevin Harris. But again, he's just a guy. I don't know if he can make the team. Pierre Strong, earmarked for a clear role, the heir apparent for James White here in that offense in New England. They also have an intriguing player, De'Aaron King. He's the quarterback at Miami. They're Florida in college. They're trying to convert him, trying to be a special athlete to work with Julian Edelman coming out of Kent State, getting him to transition from quarterback to wide receiver. So we'll see what happens with De'Aaron King. As again, Patriots love to tinker with positions for sure, and the value of players, and the King not being looked at as a quarterback, but more an athlete there. The Patriots are trying to mold into something valuable on their team, at least on the back end of their roster for starters. Staying in the AFC East, we'll go to the New York Jets, and we'll start with the Wilsons. We talked about the Patriots there and McDaniels, those guys with the other teams, but Garrett Wilson is locked and loaded. He signed his rookie contract, so he's good to go. Zach Wilson looks bulked up, stronger, healthier. That's also going to help him stay good in this offense there. And again, ties to Mike McDaniel because this is a team offense run by Michael Floor, also tied to Kyle Shanahan. So the Dolphins and Jets are kind of the Spider-Man meme. They're the style of offense they're going to run. And you have three legitimate receivers now. Garrett Wilson clearly going to start opposite Corey Davis with Elijah Moore sliding the slot. Braxton DeBerrios providing some return game pop as well as some slot contingency there for the Jets. So pretty deep there overall. There are wide receiver with Berrios in number four role. We also look at the backfield, and the plan seems to be pretty clear that Breece Hall and Michael Carter are going to split this pretty evenly here. And Breece Hall will maybe get a few more touches. He's a higher drafted and more talented than two players, but Carter is going to have some room as a change of pace. So maybe the hot hand approach, but I think there's going to be plenty of carries to go around. I don't think they want to wear down both these backs here early. And one guy may pull away from the other. If it's anyone, I think it's Breece Hall versus Michael Carter, but something to watch there with the Jets here in this running game. So running game, passing game, very intriguing with the Jets, and Zach Wilson still stands out as a potential fantasy sleeper. If you missed that show, he was definitely on there as a guy that is undervalued and underrated right now, according to the expert consensus rankings as we go into late May and June. The Steelers, they have their own young quarterback, their first-round pick, Kenny Pickett. He has every chance to start here, according to Mike Tomlin. So Matt Canada and Mike Tomlin, the Canada, the offense coordinator, they're not handing the ball and the starting job to Mitchell Trubisky. There's going to be a competition with him and Kenny Pickett. I think it only name, they're going to use Mason Rudolph in that mix. But I think it's pretty much between Pickett, his athletic skill set, big arm athletic to get it downfield. And then you look at Mitchell Trubisky, also pretty big arm. The accuracy is going to be the key here. So the Pickett can be the more accurate quarterback, show a little bit more moxie and it factor here. He'll win the job of Trubisky. But if there's some growing pains and Pickett is struggling to complete passes and struggling with the shorter intermediate part of the game and not as kind of aggressive to run, then they'll go with Mitchell Trubisky. So it's going to be pretty close. It's going to be the training camp battle to watch here everywhere in the NFL, especially quarterback. And finally, let's close looking at the Titans here. And Treylon Burks is tagged for a big role, but don't sleep on Nick Westbrook-Ikhine here. He's getting some reps here as Robert Woods is on the rehab mend, coming over from a new team, Rams to the Titans, so something to watch there. So we'll see what happens with Woods, Burks, and Westbrook-Ikhine. I just don't have a lot of confidence right now with this passing game, Ryan Tannehill, and the way the Titans ended in that Bengals playoff game. It's just a little bit concerning there, so we're going to definitely be buyer beware a little bit with the Titans passing in this year. Treylon Burks, I like the concept of Treylon Burks. They need to really fill the void of A.J. Brown. They drafted him there to replace A.J. Brown immediately there when they made that trade with the Eagles. So there's all that playing in this, but we'll have to see exactly what his role is. But again, there was some talk that Treylon Burks had a little Debo Samuel in him, and it seems like they want to do that a little bit. So maybe getting some runs to complement Derrick Henry, playing off the aggressiveness there, end rounds, thing that can come out of that, as well as getting a chance to be a number two receiver with Woods being the more reliable possession guy experience there, even in the new offense here for Ryan Tannehill. So a lot of things to watch, but a lot of newness around the AFC. And we wanted to get you updated on the news and notes here to know what are the most important things to take in to the deep part of the offseason here for fantasy football. We'll do this again with the NFC tomorrow. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today and every day. Now make your second listen to Locked On NFL. Our national experts and insiders keep fans dialed in with the biggest stories in this podcast, the latest news from around the league, because an offseason doesn't equal a break in the action. Follow Locked On NFL every day on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. That's where you can also find Locked On NFL and Locked On Fantasy Football. For Locked On Fantasy Football, for AFC News and Notes, from the AFC coming up tomorrow. This is Vinny Iyer. Have a great day. Check it out on Tuesday.